I'd invite you to take your Bible and turn to Genesis 27. I'm going to read verses 28 and 29 and also 37 and 38. Verse 28. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Verse 37. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou not one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And then I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, where the account of Esau is given again, asking for his father's blessing. In Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 14 beginning, Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We're studying the two sons of Isaac and Rebekah. We're studying Jacob and Esau. The study of Jacob and Esau is the study of election and the blessing of those who have been chosen or elected by God. These are types or examples and are illustrations to help us to understand these profound doctrines. Hebrews 9:11 tells us, For the children, that is Esau and Jacob, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. God chose Jacob over Esau when they were in the womb. They had not been saved yet, so to speak, but in the foreknowledge of God, God knew who would be saved, and therefore he could make choices in his family based upon his purpose. And so God told Rebekah that the younger would be sovereign over the elder. The second born would have the blessing of the firstborn, and the firstborn, that is Esau, would be rejected. Again, I remind us that the last shall be, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. The last having to do with Jacob, the second born, shall be first. He will be Esau's Lord. And the first, that is Esau, the firstborn, will be last, and he will be the servant of Jacob. For many be called, that is Esau and Jacob, but few chosen, that is Jacob. I remind us of the last lesson, that the called are of the same lump. In Romans chapter 9, verse 21, Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump, that is the family of God, to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? And he does have the right to do that, and the called are of the same lump. and both are vessels of the lump of clay, and one vessel is unto honor, and another vessel is unto dishonor. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, it tells us that in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. One of the things that we will find is this, that the vessel of honor seek for honor. And we know that from this verse in 2 Timothy that there are going to be those in positions of honor and glory in the house of our Lord. And then there are going to be those who will be serving those that will have positions of honor and glory in the house of the Lord. So there will be those that will have places or positions of dishonor, and there will be those who will have positions of honor. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality or incorruption, they are the ones who are going to have life for the age." It's the vessels of honor that seek for glory and honor and incorruption. The vessels of dishonor do not choose to do that. In Galatians 6:8 it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That is, they will lose the birthright and the blessing, as well as life of the age. "But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." That is, glory and honor, the birthright and the blessing. One of the things that Esau lost two things. He lost the birthright, that is, a double portion inheritance, but he also lost the blessing. The blessing is that which causes the son to have position and power in the family. Isaac told Esau, "I have made him," that is Jacob, "thy Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants." Jacob was to be Lord over Esau, and Esau was to be his servant. And that was a choice that Isaac made, just like God makes that choice in his own family. There will be those who will be servants, there will be vessels of honor, and then there will be those who will be vessels of dishonor. Now, how do we have honor? Those of us that have been called into his kingdom and glory, how can we have honor? Well, we can sow to the things of the Spirit. Sowing to the things of the Spirit is seeking for glory and honor and the birthright and the blessing. And why do we want to sow to the things of the Spirit? If we don't, we will become weary in well-doing. It's just like Esau, when he was out in the world and he came in, he was faint. If you try to sow to the things of the flesh and the same things of the Spirit, you will become faint. In verse 9 it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." What is well-doing? That is, ministering to ourselves the things of the Spirit. And that we shall reap. What shall we reap? The blessing and the birthright and life of the age. If we faint, what will we lose? We will lose the blessing and the birthright and life of the age. But if we faint not, that is, If we do not quit because we have ministered to the flesh, we will reap life for the age. Esau was faint. We find this again in Genesis 25, 29, and 30. And Jacob saw pottage, and Esau came from the field, that is, the world, and he was faint, having sown to the flesh. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, that is, minister to me spiritual things, I pray thee. And with the same red pottage, prophet's food, for I am faint, spiritually, having sown to the flesh, spiritually, not ministering spiritually to myself, but I have been sowing to the flesh, and I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. Now, because Esau was a man of the world, and he did not sow to the things of the Spirit, this is a lesson that we need to learn from Esau. We need to learn from Esau that it takes a worthy walk. We are to walk worthy of the Lord who hath called us unto his kingdom and glory. This doesn't have anything to do with the calling or election. This has to do with our performance after we have been called and after we have been chosen. You can be called unto the wedding feast, and if you don't make preparation for entrance into the wedding feast, you won't get in. If you don't have an extra vessel of oil, that is the ministry of the Spirit, or if you don't have the wedding garment, and the wedding garment is the righteous acts of the saints, that is, ministering to others. In other words, those are the two things that we need to be doing. We need to be ministering to ourselves spiritually, sowing to the things of the Spirit, and we need to be ministering to others. Jacob ministered to Esau. How did he minister to him? He fed him bread and pottage. That has to do with the Word of God and prophet's food. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, we read again, lest there be any profane person as Esau, one who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. In other words, he lost his birthright for one morsel of meat. For you know how afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, he was disapproved. And for he, that is Esau, found no place of repentance from Isaac, though he sought it carefully with tears. It's at the judgment seat of Christ that we are going to find out how we have failed to please the Lord and to honor him. In contrast to Esau, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The things to come have to do with the kingdom and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaac, by faith, blessed Jacob, and he rejected Esau. Jacob will enter in to the kingdom with honor and glory, and Jacob will suffer rejection and shame. And his inheritance will be outside the inheritance in type and in picture of the land flowing with milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey is a picture and a type of a heavenly inheritance, and Esau's rejection is a picture and a type of those who will not have a heavenly inheritance. Though they may be in heaven, they will be there as servants, not as sovereigns. Now, Esau's blessing was in a place where the unclean animals dwelt. In Isaiah 34, verse 14, it says, the wild beast of the desert shall also meet with the wild beast of the island. And the satyr shall cry to his fellow, the screech owl also shall rest there, and find for herself a place of rest. The desert, the wilderness, is a place where the unclean dwell. And this is the place, or this is in type, is the kind of inheritance Esau will have. And Esau will be there, and we'll see that in just a moment. In Hebrews 9:11 it says, Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Just as Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, the Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest concerning those things that are coming. What things are coming? An honorable inheritance and a dishonorable inheritance. An inheritance in the land flowing with milk and honey, and an inheritance in the land that is wilderness and desert and all kinds of unclean animals. Hebrews 9:15 says, For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, that they which are called might receive the promise of the eternal or the age-lasting inheritance. The good things that are coming is a reference to our inheritance. And Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is actually the executor of his will, where he is portioning out his inheritance to his family according to his own purpose and will. And being the mediator of the New Testament, and it's by his death that the New Testament actually comes in force. The will does come in force with the death of the one who wrote the will, that those that are called might receive the promise. And notice that it's might. It's subjunctive. The call may not receive the blessing because they may not walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Only the saved are called. I again remind you that he saved us, that is, the lump, and called us, that is, many, with an holy calling, not according to his own purpose, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Again, I remind you of the fact that we are called to walk worthy of God, who hath called us unto his kingdom and glory. Now, Isaac blessed Jacob. In Genesis 27:9, it says, Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. One of the problems that the elect have, or the chosen have, is that of Joseph. Joseph was given a dream by God that his brothers would bow down to him. He was told that his father would bow down to him. This made his brothers angry, just like Esau was angry because God chose Jacob. Joseph was chosen by God, and his brothers did not like the choice that God had made. And so there is the struggle there. Not that Jacob is anything. In fact, he was nothing. Joseph was nothing. And because of that, it made the brothers even more angry, being that Joseph was the last born. Now, in Genesis 27, it says Isaac would not repent of his decision or of his choice. And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy lord, and his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. This is the blessing that, in other words, he not only missed the birthright, but he missed this part, which is the blessing. Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. This is this reference to the fact that Esau was a hairy man. In fact, the word Esau means hairy, is not incidental. It's a warning. In Genesis 27, verse 41, it says, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing where his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. What happens when a brother hates another brother? Well, there are consequences that will be paid. First of all, let me just simply emphasize the fact that a brother is one who is to do the will of the Father. Whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother. Esau and Jacob, I think, are a picture of brothers. A brother is one who has been called to do the will of the Father and can receive the blessings of doing the will of the Father. But Esau did not please his father, but he hated his brother. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Esau is a picture of a Christian who has been called unto the kingdom and glory of our Lord, who has blinded himself by his hatred of his brother. This happened in the relationship between Cain and Abel. It says, Not as Cain, who slew his brother, because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Esau could tell that Jacob was doing those things that were pleasing his mother and father, and he knew that his life was not pleasing him or pleasing them. And so Jacob got the blessing and he got the birthright. In 1 John 3:15 it says, Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life or life for the age. Or no murderer hath honor and glory, the birthright and the blessing abiding in him. So we need to be careful how we treat our brother in the Lord. And I don't think that a brother is simply someone who is saved. I think of a brother in terms of doing the will of the Father. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of the heavens, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Only a brother will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. And a brother is one who does the will of the Father. A brother can change his mind. A brother can go in another direction. A brother can sell his birthright for one morsel of meat, just as Esau did. But in this case, we see that Esau hated his brother, and you know that no brother will have honor and glory, the birthright and the blessing, or life for the age in the coming kingdom of our Lord. A brother in need. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Loving the brethren has to do with ministry to the brethren. Jacob ministered to his brother Esau. And just let me just say this. From the 25th chapter of Genesis to the 27th chapter of Genesis, you find the word brother used about 13 or 14 times. It's significant. The emphasis is on the fact that the two were brothers. Now, if brothers do not minister to each other, they will be called to task on it. In fact, in Matthew 25, it says, Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? This was the goats were asking this question in Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25 and verse 45, it says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, ye did it not unto me." The ministry to the brethren is blessed by God. They are the ones who will enter the kingdom. Those who will not minister to the brethren are those who will not minister to the Lord, and they will be rejected from entrance into the kingdom. I made a reference earlier to the fact that Esau was a hairy man. And Jacob was commenting to his mother about this, that my brother is a hairy man, but I am smooth. And the word hairy actually means goat. Esau is a goat. In Genesis 27 and verse 11, it says, "Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." The word hairy is also translated goat. It's also translated satyr, S-A-T-Y-R. Where is the abode of the satyr? The satyr dwells in the wilderness, in the desert, where the wild beasts of the islands are. We read this in Isaiah 34, verse 14 earlier. It says, "The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr, that is, the goats, shall cry to his fellows. The screech owl also shall rest there and find herself a place of rest." The satyr is the same Greek or Hebrew word as hairy. And Esau was a hairy man. He was a goat. In 2 Chronicles 29:23, and it says, "And they brought forth the goats for the sin offering." This is the same word for Esau being a hairy man. He is a goat. In Isaiah 13, verse 21, it says, "But the wild beast of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there." That is, the goats shall dance there. The goats will be there. The goats will be where the doleful creatures are, the unclean creatures are. And this is a picture of Esau. Those who would not produce the fruits thereof were rejected. And their inheritance will be the inheritance of the desert. And we just need to be aware of the fact that it does make a difference how we live. Again, I remind us of Malachi chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. "Was not Esau, Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness?" We have a choice. We need to believe that we have been called unto his kingdom and glory. We need to believe also that we have been chosen. And we need to appreciate the fact that it does make a difference how we lived after we are chosen. God's choice of choosing us and calling us is not based upon our performance before we have been called, but our entering into the blessing of the being called is based upon our performance after we have been saved. May the Lord help us to practice the lifestyle of Jacob, not the supplanting part of it, but the part of ministering to others and not hating our brother, but caring for our brother. May the Lord help us to do that. Father, we just thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you'd bless the ministry of your word to each that are listening today. We just thank you again for your faithfulness to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.